Well, hey there, welcome, or welcome back, I suppose, and if I'm welcoming you back, then there's a good chance you're already subscribed, but if this is your first time, then I want to make sure that you remember to subscribe wherever you're listening to podcast. Of course, we're available on Apple, Spotify, all the places, and then I'm going to continue to give that special shout out to our YouTube channel, because we are going to be dropping a lot more YouTube exclusive content in the near future. And a great example of that is our latest video series for church leaders. It is a simply called Church Media HQ Start. And the idea behind it is giving you a great place to start no matter where you're at in your media and marketing. So if you're just kind of beginning with all of that, or if you've been doing it for a while, we kind of talk you through a natural progression that balances effectiveness with efficiency and seeks to help you do more with less. And so if you're interested in that content, make sure you get on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/mustincrease. That's youtube.com/mustincrease. Get subscribed, or you can head over to churchmediahq.com/start and access all of the videos as well as a bunch of free resources there. This is really good stuff, I will say. This is probably the most, it definitely is. It's the most comprehensive kind of piece of content that we've put together in order to help churches, just in such, again, a very kind of very, very tactical and practical way. So you've got all the videos. There's about 20 videos in the series, I believe. And they're all short. They're all 5 to 10 minutes long. They're not very long at all. So you can watch them in just short little kind of bite-sized chunks and get a little piece of help, a little piece of wisdom, move on, come back to it later. And we also have a bunch of free tools and resources, content that you can download, that you can access. And so you're going to want to make sure you check that out. Again, you can either do that by subscribing to our YouTube channel or heading over to churchmediahq.com/start. Well, today, oh, by the way, I believe that the date this is going to be released is going to be July 4th. I believe it is. So happy July 4th to you out there. Happy Independence Day. Hope you're enjoying the day. And if it's after that, then I hope you had a good 4th of July weekend. And if it's somewhere a long time down the road and this you're listening to this at just whenever, well, yay. I hope you're having a great day, great week, and whatever holiday's coming up, enjoy it. Today we are going to be diving into talking about Mac desktops in particular. And so we're going to get to that. And you know, make sure you hang around, because at the end of today's episode, we're going to be talking about some really big changes coming to the podcast, as well as our just our content output in general. It has a little bit more to do with what I was talking about there with YouTube and whatnot. So hang around to the end, and we're going to talk about that then. Well, so we discussed in not the last episode, but the past couple episodes before that, we were talking through this idea of utilizing or what MacBooks rather is best for you. So we talked about, okay, if you're a standard user, you're using your MacBook for, you know, what most people do, you're going to use it for checking your email, browsing the internet, you know, doing documents and things like that. But again, probably 90% or more people are using computers for. We talked about what you should get then. And we also talked about, okay, if you're a pro user, doing a lot of Photoshop, web development, or video production, what should you get? And so if you haven't seen those episodes, those are just a few back. We just recently got through those. But today we're going to revisit the topic, but we're going to look at it from the standpoint of MacBooks, or not MacBooks rather, but Mac desktops. So Apple has a pretty big lineup of computers in general, but something very important to note is that Apple's making a really big change, and they have been for the past couple years, of shifting all of their computers to be powered by their own silicon, their own processors and chips. And so whereas before they were using Intel, which is a third-party provider, Apple has started to make their own. And I have to say, as I mentioned in previous episodes, they are so much better, faster, more efficient. They are better all around. And so with all of that in mind, I want to talk you through kind of what I would do if I was purchasing a desktop, and talk about kind of the different advantages of that. This is another reason, if you aren't connected with our YouTube channel, that you're going to want to do that, because videos or episodes like this, rather, are going to make a lot more sense if you're watching the video, because I'm about to share my screen and show you some stuff, and I will do my best to describe it by way of audio, but it will make a lot more sense if you're looking at it as well. So make sure that you check out our YouTube channel so that you can watch the video version of this episode. So with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, because the first thing we're going to talk about is the standard level computer. So again, this would be for the standard user. For you pro users and power users out there who are using your computer for, you know, heavy graphic design and video video production and things like that. Yep, we're getting there too. But I'm going to start talking about the standard. Now, Apple has recently, well, fairly recently, in the past couple years, they have started to transition their desktop Macs over to their M1 or their M line, their in-house made chips. And so the first one that they did desktop wise was this Mac Mini. That was back in 2020. And then in 2021, they released the iMac. Now, both of these are basically the same. They just have slight differences between the two. Basically, this iMac has four ports. This one has two. As you go down here, you'll see this one can have the four port can have up to eight cores, whereas the two port only has seven cores. And so anyways, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, these are the main desktop Macs, rather, that Apple is offering in order that offer the M1 chip. I cannot emphasize enough that, and I said this in the previous episodes, but let's actually look over here. You really want to steer clear of anything that has an Intel chip, and that's going to include their Mac Pro. That's going to include their some versions of their other, well, it does look like they're doing a good job of phasing it out. I think the Mac Pro actually might be the only one they're still featuring here that does not include their that doesn't include the Apple made chips. This Mac Pro is still running off Intel, and it's already been said that basically almost every other device, even the non-pro devices, computer devices, that is, that Apple's released with the M1 or M2 is even faster than what their Mac Pro is. And so you're going to want to avoid so just as we look here again, you're going to want to avoid these are all, you know, sure, we've talked about the MacBook Air with M1, MacBook Air with M2. We have talked about how this is the fake MacBook Pro, and even though it does have the M1 or M2 in it, you want to avoid it as well, because it is no better than either of these. So go back to those episodes. The episode, the real MacBook Pro, tells you why, so check that out if you haven't yet. These are great. The MacBook Pro 14 and 16 are great for pro users. And now, yes, we are going to move into talking about the iMac, Mac Mini, and Mac Studio today. Might touch on the studio display there, but Mac Pro, you probably aren't interested in dropping $6,000 on a computer anyways, but I just want to affirm that there's no need for you to do that, because this Mac Pro is, even though it is a whole lot more expensive than the Mac Studio here, it is actually... the Mac Studio is going to be faster. It's going to have more power in almost every case. So anyways, all that to say, let's go back to talking about the standard level computers, which are going to be the iMac, the latest version of the iMac, which is the 24-inch, and the Mac Mini. Now, let's not get distracted by the bells and whistles. So the iMac, these do come in color, okay? You get one choice with a Mac Mini. These have displays built into them, okay? So they actually, this is truly an all-in-one device. You buy an iMac and you're ready to go. You've got a screen, and it is a good screen. And the screen, the computer, they're all built in. So you don't need to buy additional screens and monitors. Where with Mac Mini, you would have to already have a display, or you'd have to purchase a display. But we're not going to get distracted by that. We're going to look at just pure performance and power, and you're going to see that these are all virtually the same. They're their run on the Apple M1 chip. And I don't foresee Apple updating any of these anytime soon. Maybe they'll have a new Mac Mini in the fall. Maybe. If so, it's going to have the M2. And the performance is not going to be that much of a jump. So I would say if you really want to wait it out, maybe. Maybe give it until late fall. And if you really want to see if they come out with something new. But I don't think that that's going to affect the price. I think what they're going to do is what they've been historically doing now for the a few product updates. Apple will release a Mac Mini with an M2. They will, its base price will probably be, I'm going to go ahead and predict that it's going to be either, I'm going to say $899. And that's going to be that. And then that means this $699 price is going to remain on this Mac Mini M1. So all of that to say, I think if you wanted to buy one of these desktops, you're safe. You don't have to worry about some product coming out that's going to cause it to be discounted or that's going to be so much better that it blows any of these away. No, I think you're going to be very happy with either of these or any of these options here. But again, as we continue to look, there's really virtually no difference. You've got the eight core CPU on all of these, both versions of the iMac and the Mac Mini. Now, the iMac with two ports only has the 7-core GPU. That's the graphics processing, whereas the other two have 8-core. Again, that is virtually no difference. You probably wouldn't notice that. Up to 16 gigs of memory. Now, the 2-port iMac only allows up to 1 terabyte of storage, whereas the other, the iMac 4-port and Mac Mini allow up to 2 terabytes. And, you know, these two iMacs do come with a keyboard, whereas Mac Mini does not. And we can continue to look down here at all the different things. We're not going to do that for now. But let's move on to talking about what I would recommend in terms of if I was going to buy one of these. So I am actually going to recommend, because I know, hey, we're looking to ball on a budget, right? So if we really want to get the most bang for our buck, I am going to recommend that we go with the Mac Mini. So let's go over here, go to Mac, and choose Mac Mini, and go to buy. And then let's start with the base model right here, the $699 model. We again, as we talked about, there is one exception to this, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but I never, with one exception, recommend the base model. So anytime you look at the base model and the price, just understand you're going to pay more than that if you want to make sure you're getting the right thing. So let's select this base model, though, and then we'll build it out from there. All right, so on memory, 8 gigs or 16 gigs. I talked about this before. I'm not going to yell at you if you keep it on 8 gigs, but if you are going to be doing anything that like if you're going to have any Adobe products installed at all, then I'm going to recommend that you go ahead and get 16 gigs of RAM. So if you're going to have Photoshop, InDesign, anything like that, even if you're going to be lightly using it, I would recommend getting the 16 gigs. And I'm going to recommend that in general because As I've mentioned in the previous episodes, the more apps for computers and Macs continue to develop, the more resource they intensive they're going to become. This is going to ensure that your Mac stays, it doesn't get sluggish and it kind of lasts longer. So, but I'm not going to yell at you if you hang out on 8 gigs of memory either. Now, we definitely want to upgrade this storage. 256 gigs of storage is never going to be enough for anyone, unless you want to also buy external storage or some type of cloud storage subscription and actively manage that, which just from personal experience gets really annoying and really hard to keep up with. So I really think you need to upgrade to 512. You know, if you're going to be doing, if you're going to be doing a lot of video or maybe anything with video, well, if you're going to be doing much with video, you probably would want to do something different, but I don't know, you could consider going to a terabyte, but this configuration will be fine. Again, let's say you go with 8 gigs. Again, I'm not going to yell at you for that. I don't think it's a great idea, especially if you're doing, Adobe products, Photoshop and all that, but again, I'll let it be. So 8 gigs, 512. Now we are looking at $899 is the price. And that is going to be it. Now, as far as the Ethernet, you don't need to worry about that. I highly doubt many would benefit from 10 gigabit Ethernet. Anyway, so let's look at that price. Now, let's look real quick at this iMac with the iMac. So again, the biggest difference here, again, let's configure it exactly the same. So we got 8 gigs of memory, 512 of SSD storage. Same over here. 8 gigs, 512. We're going to... Now, So the configurations are the same. Now, understand this. That, when it comes to the biggest difference between these two, and we have the performance exactly the same. So we're looking at 8-core CPU with an 8-core GPU, and look at it the same, 8-core, 8-core, again, 8 gig, 512. Just want to make sure we're verifying that we have these exactly the same, 8 gig, 512. Look at the price difference, $1,700 versus $900. Okay, so that is literally a $800 difference between the two. So, and what are you getting? What are you getting when you buy the iMac versus the Mac Mini? Well, obviously you've got this screen built in, and they do include a mouse and keyboard. Okay, so with Mac Mini, you're literally getting this. That's it. That and a power cord. That's all you're getting is this little desktop. Mac Mini right there, and the power cord with it. You have to buy the mouse, the keyboard, the display all separately. But think about this. There's a $900 difference in between the two. That is more than enough extra cash there to go and buy a good display. You might even be able to get two good displays for that. I'm not Apple displays. No, it wouldn't be that. But you could get a good even 4K nice, you know, display for maybe a Dell or an HP or LG, something like that. That's got HDMI, because that's the Mac Mini has HDMI ports on it, which I believe you could see. Yep, there we go. See, there's an HDMI port right there. So you can buy all of this. You can buy, like I said, a good display, plugs right there in the HDMI, and you got a $900, $800 difference. So we've got that $800 difference in between the two. That's plenty of money to do that and to go buy the mouse and keyboard. You can even get the Apple brand mouse and keyboard. I believe, does it let you add it on down here? No, it does not. But there's a place where you can go after you've added it to, you know, your cart or whatever, and you can go and get your, added even an Apple brand mouse and keyboard. And you're still, you're still going to be under a couple $100 for those two accessories. So let's say you spend a couple $100 on mouse keyboard accessories, and you spend $300 on a good screen. Well, that's only $500. And so you're still, between these two, you're still saving $300. So I'm not opposed to getting the iMac. The screen is really great on the iMac. It's really nice, but, it's not the end of the world. If you decide that hey, I'd rather just buy this. It's not as fancy, not as pretty, doesn't come in color, and you have to get your own display, it would save you some cash. So as far as standard, if you're a standard user and you're really, again, just looking to get the most bang for your buck, I'd say, hey, check out that Mac Mini, and then go buy yourself, make sure you buy a mouse and a keyboard for it, and go buy an external display for it. And like I said, if you say, hey, I got a little extra cash, I just like the idea of an iMac, great. Just keep in mind the configuration. You don't want to go with the 256 of storage. It's not going to be enough. 512 there. So now that is the standard stuff. So that, again, is looking at the iMacs and the Mac Mini. Those would be for standard users. So let's talk about you pro users, you power users out there. You're doing a lot of graphic design. You're doing a lot of video, maybe. So first of all, let's go back over here to the Mac Mini and let's think through that a little bit, because if you're doing graphic design and you're doing just maybe a little bit of video, let's say you're on the weekly using Photoshop, and maybe you're using some type of video editing. Let's put it this way. Maybe you're just outputting no more than 5 minutes of video any given week, and you're not really doing much with 4K. It's just, you know, HD. So the Mac Mini is actually still a very real option. In fact, I've had this configuration of Mac Mini with 16 gigs of memory and 512 of storage. I've had that in the past. Guys on my team have used that, and we've been really happy with that, even for video production. And so this 16 gigs of memory, 512 of storage is going to be good. Now, if it were me, and again, I just like the idea of having a little bit of extra storage, but this configuration, the either the 512 or the 1 terabyte storage with 16 gigs of memory. Now, do not run anything Adobe. Do any type of pro power apps without getting 16 gigs of memory. But this actually is a pretty good configuration. So really, it's very similar to what I would recommend for the standard user. Just make sure you add on that 16 gigs of memory. And hey, you've got $1099 and again, $1,100. And again, we could make the same application over here with, if you just wanted the iMac, just make sure you get the 16 gigs, but now you're up to about $1,900. So if you're going to spend $1,900, let's talk about the Mac Studio. So the Mac Studio is the latest, just really all new Mac from Apple. This is not a update to anything that they had before. It's a truly all new product line. You know, the Mac Mini, the iMac, the MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, these have been around for a while, and they've just updated those product lines with, you know, the latest and greatest technologies. The Mac Studio is truly an all new product line, and it is a beautiful machine. So let's just walk through the basics of comparing, as you can see, the Mac Studio with the Mac Mini and the iMac 4-port version. So let's just look here. So obviously there's no display built into the Mac Studio. We're not going to get distracted by the bells and whistles. It only comes in silver, not all the colors. Again, we're not going to get distracted by all that. We're just looking at sheer performance and power. So the first thing you'll notice is that the M1 Max is the base chip that comes on the Mac Studio. So now this gets very confusing. Apple has all these versions of their you know, in-house chips that they make, but the M1 Max, and there's the M1, and now they have the M2, then there's the M1 Pro, which comes on, that's available with the MacBook Pro, the real MacBook Pro, and then they have the M1 Max, which is available on the MacBook Pro, and now on the Mac Studio, and then they have the M1 Ultra. These are very, very powerful chips, very high performance, up to 20-core CPU with the M1 Ultra, up to 64-core GPU with the Ultra, up to 128 gigs of memory or RAM with the Ultra. That's insane. Up to 8 terabytes of storage. And so really, we don't have to move on past that. Like, it's very clear. This is going to blow away either of these in terms of performance. So let's talk about it. You say, okay, I want to buy this Mac Studio. Now, remember we said, okay, if I wanted to say take this iMac and I really did want to make it to where it was, you know, kind of build it out to where it could handle some level of, you know, power performance with, you know, as far as, doing some Photoshop and maybe doing a little bit of video. Okay, well, 16 gigs, 512. Well, we're looking at $1,900. So let's look at the Mac Studio. All right, so we're going here to Mac. We picked Mac Studio. Let's go down here. Right here on this base model, let's hit select, okay? This is the only time that if you stuck with just the base model, I would say you're good. You're good to go. You are gonna be fine. The M1 Max is a beast. 32 gigs of memory is very good. If you're doing video, it's gonna be very sufficient. If you're doing insane amounts of output, then upgrade that. But you know, you're gonna be very happy with that. 512 gigs of storage, you're probably gonna be fine. A terabyte might be better, but you'd be fine. And literally the base model would work. $2,000 for this. And really, if you think about this, I know $2,000 seems like a lot of money, especially when you look out there and say, oh, I can go buy a cheap piece of garbage PC for $200. Well, I know it can seem like a lot, but considering the performance on this, this is one of the greatest values Apple offers in terms of their computers. Now, again, it's like the Mac Mini in that it doesn't come with a screen, it doesn't come with a keyboard, it doesn't come with all of that. It literally comes with what's in the box, the computer itself and the power cord. That's it. But if you can come up with a few $100 extra to get your screen, maybe you already have a screen. You already have like an HDMI screen, because again, this has HDMI. Look at all the ports on the back of this one, by the way. So it's got the HDMI, it's got two standard USB, four Thunderbolt or USB-C, it's got the Ethernet port right there. I mean, this is really cool. And it's the first desktop computer to have ports on the front. It's got two USB-C ports on the front and an SD card. But what I'm saying is, if you already have a screen, a computer monitor with HDMI, then in theory, you can just use that, what you already have, and you could buy this and just plug it in. Make sure you have a mouse and keyboard, and you're good to go. Now, if you want to go crazy, I personally, if it were me, because this is the configuration that I got for my MacBook Pro, I would get the, I would go ahead and go with the 64 gigs of memory, and I would go with the terabyte. So yes, that takes the price up to $2,600, but that's me personally. And again, we're outputting quite a bit of video content any given week here, upwards of probably 60 minutes. Would not be uncommon for us to have a week where we're doing that much video, producing it, editing it, all that stuff. That's me. So again, though, even if I got this, I'd probably still be good. I wouldn't feel like I'm doing something with my left hand. I mean, I would feel really strong about it. So, So this is the Mac Studio. It's a really impressive machine. I really love it. I don't have one. I don't need one. Not anytime soon, at least, because again, I've got the MacBook Pro. That's basically this version of it, with the M1 Max, the 64 gigs, the 1 terabyte. So, I'm good to go on that. But I will say this too, if you want to kind of get an idea of the difference in price, I mean, if I do configure a M1 Max MacBook Pro in the same configurations, you're looking at, I'm not going to take the time to pull it up right now, but you are looking at like probably another, I believe it's another probably $800 to $1,000. So again, it's kind of the idea of the iMac. Like, it's really nice to have an all-in-one iMac or a MacBook, but if you can survive one of the desktop workflow and get your own screen, this is a great way to get a machine with a lot of power for a price that's really not that bad. I mean, $2,000 for what this machine does. Really just less than 5 years ago, you would have paid double that for a machine that does something like that, that has this level of capability. So, and then the other thing I'm just going to look at real fast, they do have this studio display, Apple does, and it starts at $1,599, which, I mean, that's a lot for a display. I mean, I've heard mixed reviews on it. Some say this screen is really good. Some say it's not that great for what you're paying for. I don't know. I'm of the opinion that if it were me, and I will tell you, I'm probably never going to get this studio display, or at least this version of it. If they, update it down the road and increase the quality and whatever, yes. But I just don't think it's worth $1,600. That's my opinion. I would look at a nice Dell, 4K type of display, or maybe something from LG, which you could probably get for half the price or less. That's just my two cents on that right there. Well, as I said at the beginning of the episode, we actually have a special announcement about the future of the podcast. So you may or may not know that we actually have two podcasts here at Must Increase. We have Church Media HQ and Connection Culture. Church Media HQ, that is designed to help church leaders in their media and marketing. And then Connection Culture is targeted a little bit more at the consumer and helping them understand, technology and media and how to best use that in our crazy culture that is driven by connection and media. Well, it dawned on me not too long ago that a lot of the content that we cover on both podcasts is very similar, and it's very helpful to both audiences in that a lot of the content we cover on Connection Culture is very much applicable to church leaders out there, for example, and the other way around. Because, for example, the content that we talked about today is very helpful to a church leader looking to buy a new computer, but the average consumer could take advantage of that content as well. And so what we have decided to do is to actually merge these two podcasts into one podcast. Now, if you are watching or listening, then you don't have to do anything. This is where everything is going to stay. We're going to consolidate everything, if you will, into this actual podcast feed. So you don't have to do anything, except for if you haven't yet, you want to make sure you're subscribed. But if you're already subscribed, then good. Nothing's going to change for you in terms of you don't have to do anything. But what you are going to notice as of August is a new format and a new name for the podcast as well, which I will announce at that time. So stay tuned. We're still going to be bringing you episodes for the next few weeks as we get through July, and sometime in August, we are going to officially launch the new format, I guess, if you will, of the podcast. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And the reason our YouTube channel is so important is because, church leaders out there, as much as this content will be relevant to you, we're going to be dropping content on our YouTube channel, much like the content, this video series that we just dropped, that is specific to churches in particular. And so that's why you're going to want to make sure you're subscribed to both. We're going to have some really good content right here on the main podcast, if you will, on this feed, which will also be available. We'll be continuing to add those episodes to YouTube as well. We're going to continue to have some great conversations with church leaders and creatives and people in this world, if you will. And it's going to be helpful to, I believe, just anyone out there who wants to make the most of technology. But something that you're going to notice is that, again, that specific content for churches is going to be directed particularly onto YouTube. So you're going to want to get subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as our YouTube channel. And I want to thank you for being with us. It's been great. This is literally something I just look forward to doing, is creating this content. And I am glad that you're a part of it. And again, we've got episodes coming your way here for the next few weeks. And in August, you're going to, you don't have to go anywhere, but you're just going to hear a new name, kind of a fresh new look and feel to the podcast. And I think you are going to enjoy it. Well, I want to thank you so much for being a part of our podcast, for you church leaders out there, for being a part of Church Media HQ. And I do hope that you find this content helpful. And please share it. Please share it with someone out there, letting them know. If it's been helpful to you, then help them out as well. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and I'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.